What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And we are going to review three comical books that came out this very day, Wednesday.
Comical books? You mean comic books?
Like funny books. Like, they got some funny stuff going on, nope. Like some hilarious stuff that'll make you laugh. Really tickle that funny bone.
Have you read these comics?
Yeah, they made me laugh.
Made me laugh
a lot.
Up, that's
real really funny stuff up. Going on. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh my god. Oh, I got a little choked up.
Oh wow.
Anyway, we have three comic books that we're going to review. We're going to be talking about Superman number 39, Ice Cream Man number 1, and the latest issue of Thor from Marvel Comics.
Yeah, which one of these three was funny to you? That's what I want to know.
These are actually three of
not funny books.
Yeah, they're not funny books.
No, there's nothing funny about those books.
There. Sorry about that. Do you want to kick it off talking about Thor? Because
yeah.
That's pretty sad. Thor number 703 by Jason Aaron. The art is by Russell Dodderman. The colors are by Matthew Wilson. Excuse me, I don't really know
this
him.
This is one of my favorite Thor runs of all time.
Yeah?
Jane Foster dealing with cancer, being sick, but can't put down the hammer because she believes in defeating evil more than she believes in herself getting better. She's all right with her dying as long as she's doing the right thing in the process. And it has been powerful, heartbreaking, amazing comic book reading. And I know it's got to end, but I don't want it to because this is one of my favorite runs of Thor of all time.
Well, does it have to come to an end? I mean, I know technically
they're
yes.
setting it up that way.
Yeah, they're certainly setting it up that way. They've been pretty open about, hey, this is leading up to the death of Thor, which is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And they've shown off promo art with old style Thor, now called Odin's son, is going to go back and be holding the hammer.
Boo.
But man, I don't know. It feels like I don't know that there's an out that would feel acceptable at this point because
I think they're setting up for I'm okay with her dying as long as she gets one last battle to kind of be like, I've been the best Thor that's ever been.
Well, I think she is. This issue we get, it's weird to say it's a quieter issue because half of the issue is Mangog, this indestructible force tearing Asgard to the ground in the most epic fashion possible.
But you don't even care about that.
No, you don't.
This is the only time I'm paging through action going like, yeah, fight, tearing people apart. That's usually my favorite part. I'm usually like, words, people talking, don't need this fight, please.
Yeah.
This is the opposite of this book. That's why I love this book so much. It's made me not care about the fighting, which I didn't think I'd ever say out loud.
And most of this, the hero of the book, Jane Foster, is in a hospital bed where our friends are saying, do not get up. So it's
they're saying like, yeah, because she keeps getting worse because she keeps turning into Thor. And it is just, oh, it's so amazing. It's so amazing.
It is. It's absolutely heartbreaking. It's incredibly emotional. The tensest part of the book is whether she is going to take her hammer back and fight Mangog. I mean, I think it's fair to say whatever happens in this issue, she is going to take that hammer again. And what happens beyond that, I guess we'll have to see. But you're right. This is one of the greatest Thor runs of all time, including Walter Simonson's run. Not that it's a contest. You can read all of them, and that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, please do.
Yes, but this is great.
Yep.
This is absolutely great.
It's really made me love Thor, and I haven't. I've never been a huge Thor fan, but this has really put it over the top for me.
Yeah, I just hope she doesn't end up to Thor at the end of the day.
Oh,
to Thor,
man.
You know, from...
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, we're going to move on to Ice Cream Man, number 1 from Image Comics. This is written by W. Maxwell Prince. The art is by, I'll probably pronounce this wrong, I apologize, Martin Morazzo. Colors are by Chris O'Halloran, and the lettering is by Good Old Neon. This book is messed up, man.
Oh, this is so
this
creepy.
This is so messed up, but I loved it so much.
And it was like the setup, because it's like, oh, here's a nice cute scene with kids lining up for ice cream. I'm going, oh God. And then it's like, hey kid, where's your parents? He's like, you know, and I'm like, oh God. And then he's walking back to his house and they're talking about poisonous spiders and how all the awful things they can do to you. And I'm like, no, what's going to happen? Great book.
Yeah. So let's talk. It's, if you want to go spoiler free, which is almost a better way of going into this,
because yeah,
it is
should.
A crazy ride. Please turn this off for the next 2 minutes or so, and then come back when we talk about Superman, another very sad comic book. Yeah. But like you said, the top of the book, you're like, you see an ice cream man. He's a creepy ice cream man. So you're like, something's going to go wrong with this. But it's actually the kid is walking off and his parents are dead in the kitchen from a spider bite. Most of the comic is investigating what happened. There's some other even crazier stuff that happens.
Yeah, that's not even the crazy part.
I mean, that happens halfway through the books. I know we're dancing around this, but the art is wonderful. I'm trying to remember who it reminds me of. It feels a little bit like Frank Quitely, but not exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's not exactly right. Yeah. But the art is very Norman Rockwell, particularly the colors.
The
and very
coloring's unbelievable. Really sets up this amazing
tone. It feels
tone.
Like... I don't know how this comic book is going to play out in the long run, and I kind of don't care at this point, because it feels like a Tales from the Dark Side, or it feels like a Twilight Zone, or an amazing, not Amazing Stories, because that's a little positive. This is dark as shit.
Yeah.
But more like Tales from the Crypt or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of these fantastic first issues. Like, some people say, oh, yeah, first issues are tough. This... knocks it out of the park. I mean, what a first issue. I cannot wait for the next issue.
It's great. Just don't even listen to anything we said about it. Pick it up and go for a horrific, wonderful ride.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our last comic book, Superman number 39. Oh, this is by Tomasian Gleason. The art is by Barry Kitson, who is a legend. I didn't know what to expect coming into this comic book. I thought it was just another issue of Superman.
Yeah, me too.
And by the end, I was in tears.
Oh, man. And it was like, I was like, what is going on in this comic? Because it starts off and it's like so underplaying this crazy action that's happening. And then you realize what's going on. And it is very, very touching, very amazing. And this is what you want heroes to be. Like, this is just... so, and the part where the little kid whispers a joke to Batman was just amazing.
So the plot of the book, and again, this is getting into spoilers, but please do pick it up, is regular Superman adventure. He's fighting these ridiculous villains in Metropolis. And as he's beating them, he sees a bunch of kids in a cancer ward.
Right.
And I don't know if this is decided in advance or he decides it on the spot. It's not made totally clear. But basically, he takes these kids on a fun day to visit the Justice League and go to the moon.
And not just visit the Justice League, like their satellite in space.
Yeah. And it's delightful. They go on a scavenger hunt. Like you said, Pete, they're one of the parts of the scavenger hunt is to try to make Batman laugh. And it's just fun and it's sweet and it's sad. And Barry Kitson's art is... so beautiful in this issue. There is a perfect shot that ends it right at the end of the book. And I think you're right. What I do think is wonderful about this is you're absolutely right, is a lot of comics are so caught in these overarching, enormous, end-of-the-world scenarios that we lose track of what makes a hero a hero. And... this is them just being heroes to regular kids, and it's wonderful, and it's great.
I mean, it says a lot about who our real heroes are.
Yeah. You know,
people have to deal with that kind of stuff day in and day out, and people who are struggling with stuff. I mean, it was just such a cool idea and so well executed, and it makes me very proud to be a comic book fan.
It doesn't feel exploitative either, which is a nice thing. I mean, it definitely could have, or it could have... veered into horrible sappiness, and there are parts that are gut-wrenching and sad, particularly as the comic book goes on. I hope, I haven't read too much about this, I hope DC does something with it. I don't know what that thing would be, but take proceeds and donate it to a hospital, or just take a ridiculous amount of copies and give it out to kids for free or something like that, because it really is a wonderful, wonderful one-shot book.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where it makes me want to hand it to somebody and be like, have you read this?
Well,
you
here's what I'd say. We don't have the most listeners in the world, right? And you guys, I know, who are listening have a limited amount of money. But I want to challenge you to buy a copy of Superman number 39 and hand it to a kid. Hopefully not a kid you don't know that you're going to run up and be like, "Dan, every comic book I'm just here." But, you know, somebody that doesn't normally read comic books, or somebody who normally isn't into them, or a parent, or literally anybody who you think might want to read a comic book but doesn't usually read one, hand them this and see what they think. And if they like it, have them pass it on. I think it, as Pete said, and I keep repeating the same thing, it's a wonderful example of what comic books can be at their best.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that is it for The Stack. As I mentioned, we have a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in New York that's totally free at the Pit Loft. So please come on by. We'll chat about sad stuff and horrible stuff and maybe some happy stuff.
Yeah, hopefully some
as happy well. Stuff. Who even knows? This is a very serious episode of The Stack.
But it is one of those things when people do come to the show in New York City who are fans, who have listened for a really long time. It's really amazing for us that people take time out on their vacations or on their trips to come see us, and it's really fantastic. So please, if you are ever in New York City, we'd love to see you at our live show.
Yeah. One other little bit of business that I will mention. If you are a listener of our Riverdale podcast or are interested in listening to a Riverdale podcast, we're moving that exclusively to the Riverdale After Dark feed on iTunes, so we won't be crowding up the regular Comic Book Club feed or anything like that. So go subscribe there, check it out there. It won't be in the regular feed anymore. That's not to punish you guys. We just wanted to make it a little easier for those of you who only wanted to listen to these comic book reviews, which I just ruined by talking about it in this podcast. If you want to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live, Comic Book Club Live for the podcast and more. And next week, we'll be back with maybe some laughs.
Yeah. I'm a black cloud.